Hello and welcome to the TA Audio Conference, Motivational Techniques. Professional NAG uses creative and innovative tricks, tools, and techniques to motivate authors. Presented by accountability and productivity consultant Rachel Z. Cornell. Before going headlong into a nagging speaking and writing career, Rachel challenged the odds by becoming the first legally blind visual artist to receive a master's degree in fine arts from the University of Michigan. After graduation, she enjoyed a prolific career as a professional mixed media artist. Rachel has shown her work throughout the United States, as well as participated in such prestigious shows as the International Assemblage Artist Expedition in Berlin, Germany. While at the University of Michigan, Rachel developed and taught an interdisciplinary course designed to teach students to use the creative process to create whatever they wanted in their lives. It is the same concept she brings to her work with ProNager. I now turn the session over to Rachel.
Great. Hi, everybody, and welcome. I hope you can see the chat. If not, it's not that big a deal. You're welcome to ask questions periodically as we go in that chat if you are in. It looks like it has so many people that can be in. Anyhow, hi. Let's get going, and I'm going to give you a quick overview of what we'll be talking about during this call. First, we're going to talk about the creative process and why it matters to you. And then we're going to get down to business. I'm going to talk about tools for if you're feeling stuck and how to unstick yourself. And then a number of people sent me emails, and clearly a lot of people are overwhelmed. So we'll talk about tools for dealing with overwhelm and how to know what to do on your daily to-dos. Then we're going to deal with your very specifically about your to-do list, so you know how to use it and how to actually get things done. And then we'll have plenty of time for conversation and questions. Okay, so let's get busy. I hope you're all here. It's weird talking to a silent room. First off, I hope some people got to see the video that I had posted on the chat. If not, that's okay. But if you have, ask yourself what you think it was about, kind of formulate an idea, and then we're going to move right into our first exercise. So as Kim said, I had asked you to come to this call with three flat objects. What I'd like you to do is take those three flat objects and set them down in front of you. Can somebody say, okay, just so I can know you're all here? I'm not going to. All right. Well, I'm just going to keep going.
Okay.
Thank you. So nice to hear your voices. Hi. All right. So the most important part of this exercise is that you follow the directions exactly. It has a potential of giving you an aha moment, but the only way you'll have that chance for the aha moment to actually follow the directions exactly. I know that's tough. So anyhow, put those three things in front of you and then don't touch them. Put your hands behind your back if you have to. Okay? Now what I want you to do is look at the three objects and in your mind's eye, imagine how you'd like to rearrange them. And I would like you to rearrange them. So look at them, consider how you'd like to move them around in some new fashion. You have to do that. I want you to move. Don't touch them yet. You have to move them around. And I want you to get it exactly in your mind how you're going to move those three objects. Hands off. All right. Now, what I want you to do with your hands on now, move the three objects so that they match exactly what was in your mind's eye. And as soon as you have it perfectly, what I want you to do is stop touching. And I'm going to wait to hear like five or six done before I go on.
Done.
Okay.
Done.
Great. This is good news. All right. Now what I'd like to say, what you have just done is gone through the whole complete creative process. what I tell my clients a lot of times, if you can make dinner, you can make anything. You can have anything happen in your life. You've just done the creative process. You had an idea. You created it. You brought it into, you did move things around, and you brought it to fruition by making it happen exactly. That's what you do in everything you do. We do the creative process. So this, I'm going to put this up for you here. Here's the creative process in a nutshell. Here we go. It's up on the chat now. Basically, and the big thing that I'm going to go back to the video too, but the big thing that I want to say is that I think that our brains love to answer questions. And the artists know this. They say, huh, what if? And then they go about answering the questions. And that's what you're going to be doing too with any writing project you have. What if? What if I complete my dissertation? What if I write this book? How will I go about it? Start asking the questions. So that would be the formulating the question. Ask the question, you have the idea. That was, and the second step is action. And that's actually what we'll be talking mostly about today is the action step, because that's where we get stuck, right? The next thing is the fruition, that you've accomplished your goal. And then four, evaluation. So then you step back from the work that you've done and decide if it's suitable or you need to start again. Now, artists do this in rapid succession often. You know, we just will work on something, we'll have an idea, we'll play with it, we'll move things around like you just did, and then we'll see the results, evaluate the results, and we'll start again. But that will happen in your day-to-day. But what you want to do is look at the wide circle of your goal, your dissertation, your book, the wide circle creative process that you're going to go through, and see where you are in the steps. All right. You know, I'm finding it really hard to have it so quiet. It's somehow distracting to me to have it so quiet. All right. I'm just going to keep going. So we're going to get just into the meat of things. I think I'll do much better once we get into the meat of things. We're going to start talking about being stuck. Because I know a lot of people wrote me about being stuck. We're going to talk about the why test. This is good for, this is good for a couple kinds of, if you're in a couple kinds of situations. If you're feeling emotionally flat about your project or your work, this is a really good thing to start with. And these exercises take a little time, and I know a lot of people are overwhelmed and don't have much time. But if you're stuck, you're not really working on your project anyhow, and you have a little time because you're wasting time. So when you do these little exercises, I just want you to do them. They're just like little 5-minute, 10-minute exercises. I want you to set a timer for a short amount of time and do the exercise. And this is steps to help you get unstuck. So the first one that I'm going to talk about is the why test. And what you're going to do is, let's say you're not working on your dissertation. So you start the first question, why am I not working on my dissertation? And then you answer the question, because I have too much to do. And you ask another question. I'm talking about questions a lot here. You ask the next question, why do I have too much to do? You answer that question. You keep going down and down and down and down and down. Keep doing this. You'll have like 10, 15, 20 whys and answers. Midway through, you're going to get, a lot of times when you ask this question, you get to a vanity answer, like, I'm not doing it because I'm ashamed that I'll do a bad job or whatever. So it'll be something about what somebody else thinks about you or the impression you want to have other people have of you. This is how you know you're about midway through the why test. And also, it's okay to let vanity motivate you periodically. So if you care about what other people think about you, use that a little bit to keep let you move. But know that that's not a primary motivator. It's just a temporary vanity motivator. So keep asking and asking and asking and asking until you get down and have no more answers. And usually when you do the why test, you'll get to something like, I'm afraid. I don't think I'm good enough. It's going to be something that you'll know when you're there. It will be some kind of answer like that. Then I want you to start going kind of back up. Remember, you're doing this really fast. You're answering this really fast. Why are you afraid? This is kind of the next step of the exercise. Again, you're going to do it in a short period of time, like 5 minutes. What you're going to do is open up an email to yourself, put your email address in it, but you're going to write as if you're writing to an expert in the field based on the issue that you're having. I'm afraid that I'm not good enough. Dear so-and-so, I'm working on my dissertation, but I'm afraid I'm not good enough. I hear you're the best person in the world to advise me in what I can do to help get me unstuck. So then send it to yourself. I know it sounds silly, but it really does work. It's remarkable. When you get it, open it, and put your expert hat on, and answer that person's question with the most sincerity you can. This person's really suffering. They've come to you. They've risked asking you this question. I want you to answer the question for them. Give them some advice and some suggestions, and then email it back to them. So you're emailing it back to yourself. Now what I want you to do is ignore that email until tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning, what I want you to do is open the email and find out what the expert has to say. It sounds silly, but every client I've had do this say, oh, my God, it's remarkable, and I came up with ideas. These are things that are perfect for me. Of course they are. So that's what you're going to do. And this is, like I said, this is especially helpful if you're feeling really stuck and emotionally flat with your work right now, okay? So the next thing that I want to talk about is if you're feeling stuck, but you have a lot of emotion, you're emotionally charged, you're anxious, you have too much to do, you're a twitcher, okay? Let me put that up. Here we go. You're going to do, and I'm going to say this so many times, this is a quick exercise. I call it the brain dump. So if your mind is going in 1,000 different directions and you have emotions or you're teary or you're angry or you're just like overwhelmed or I can't do it, this is your exercise, okay? What you're going to do is for 5 minutes, actually you can do it for three, it's even better for three. Write down absolutely everything you can think of that's on your mind. You know, I don't know where the papers are to my dissertation. I lost that library book. My wife wants me to buy her flowers. Everything that's noisy in your brain. And it doesn't matter if it's totally related to your work or it's kind of off topic. Okay? After you have that, the next thing you're going to do is, okay, you've done it for 3 minutes. And you're done, the timer goes ding. Next thing you're going to do is go down your list and ask yourself, so what can I do? See, I'm back to the question again, back to asking your brain to. We love answering questions. And I'm going to bring up the video now. If you looked at the video, did you come up with an idea about what it was about? I want you to unmute and say yes or no if you saw the video. Okay, I'm just going to believe that you came. Did you come up with ideas about the video, like why? What it was about?
Sure.
Okay, great. We love answering questions. So always give yourself a question to answer, and you'll be surprised at how much more you get done. All right, so anyhow, we're back to the brain dump. What you're going to do with your bulleted list now is I want you to come up with action steps for everything, even if it's a small thing. Let's say one of the things is I can't find my paperwork. So an action step might be, you don't want to write the action step as find the paperwork. You want to say spend 5 minutes looking for the papers. So there's little actions. So each item, go down and see if you can think of some action step that you can do towards all the things on the list. It doesn't mean you have to do them all. But what it does is it quiets your mind. Oh, okay, I'm not out of control. I have control over this whole thing. All I need to do is one small thing. And look, I have a list of what I can do so I can quiet my brain. So that's that. I'm going to give you one more suggestion, and then I'm going to stop and see if there's any questions yet. The next thing is if you have dreaded tasks, and this is good even for things that are in your way from doing your work, your writing. That didn't go up. Let's see if that goes up. So what I want you to do for this is do a speed round. Let's say, I'm just going to use an example that's, let's see, write an intro to a paper for someone. So a speed round, I hate doing things like that. So a speed round is you first look at the project that you have in front of you and guess how long it will take you to do. Let's say you say it will take you about 20 minutes. I want you to set a timer for 13 minutes, and I want you to see if you can get the project done below 13 minutes. So that's a speed round. So it just forces you. If you're a game player, if you love games, if you love competition, this baby's for you because you'll really enjoy trying to beat the clock. You're going to go back and clean it up, but that's a speed round. Related to the speed round, now I don't know if any of you have time to watch TV, but there's a program called Project Runway. Has anybody seen that? Where designers have a limited amount of time and they have to create these fashion items and send them down the runway, done or not. Okay, the next thing, this is really important, and I bet you like 90% of you this will be helpful for. This is about perfectionism. This is an exercise to help you with perfectionism. And I can either call it, like, if you know Project Runway, I call it Make It Work, or Let the Threads Hang. And one of my clients is here today, and I do this with her all the time because she is a perfectionist, and she's good at what she does. She's great. And in the past 8 weeks, she's written and edited 2 marriage e-books, 15 blog posts, and like 32,000 words on a technical e-learning storyboard. So she's a perfectionist. So sometimes you just need to get it done. And sometimes you just have to let the threads hang. That means you can't, it's not perfect, it's just done. So what I'd like to do is introduce you to Patty Newbold. Patty, are you on the phone?
I am. Hi, Rachel.
Hi. And I'm going to give you some information about Patty. Patty is a remarkable person. And can you just share some of your thread dangling experiences?
Well, after you introduced me to the exercise, I actually picked up loose threads all over my house and taped them to the front of my computer to remind me to get the arms on the outfit and let the threads hang, because getting worked up over those individual threads cuts down on my progress, and that depresses me, so then I don't want to work so much. And just those 8 weeks of going at it with you and knocking out that much, you know, the 32,000 plus the e-books plus the 30,000 words plus 2 e-books plus all those blog posts, I just went pedal to the metal, and I got a lot of threads hang, but an awful lot of stuff got delivered, and it was great.
Yay. Because there are times that things have to be perfect, and there are times that things have to be done. And for perfectionists, this is really, really hard. So sometimes you just have to get it done. That means if you do it as a speed round, when the clock goes off, you are done. You send it down the runway, threads hanging or no. But you've got to make sure that the garment is sound. Otherwise, you just have a couple finishing things to do.
Even if you want to go back later, I mean, it just feels so good to have that much done.
Right, exactly.
Makes it easier to go back and do whatever needs doing.
Right. And if you're someone who's been stalling or you feel like you have to read one more journal or do one more thing. This is for you. You need to let threads hang. You need to do a bad first draft really fast, okay? Because what's happening is you're gonna kill yourself with perfectionism, and you're not gonna get anything done. But there is a lot in you, and you're probably very, very talented. You just need to get your ball rolling. And Patty is a perfect example of that. She is brilliant, and she can really crank out the work, but she has to let some threads hang. And once she got that, she just went crazy. And like she said, you go back. You can trim threads later, but you need to just you just need to go to town for a while. So I'm going to just stop for just a second and see if I have any questions. You can ask questions specifically to your issues, or questions related to any of the exercises that I've offered so far.
I just want to remind you to press 4-star to unmute yourself. And we don't really have an order for people to ask questions, so just jump in, and we'll try to get as many questions as we can during this Q&A section here. Again, 4-star to unmute yourself.
I'm going to let there be a nice pregnant pause here.
Rachel, this is Patty, and I want to ask more about that creativity exercise.
Okay.
That whole picture it and you can do it. It's easy to move flat objects, but how do I translate that into actually getting a book out there?
Well, that's a good question. And we're going to go into this next step where we're talking about backwards flow charts, doing your daily list, to-do list, that I'll answer that a little bit more. It's sometimes, you need to visualize your big picture. You need to get the aerial view of what you're doing, and we're going to talk about that in a second. But also when you come to your day-to-day, when you hone in on a small part of your project, it is actually as easy as moving those three pieces of papers around. What we want to do is get it to that place when you're doing your tasks, if you're stuck or overwhelmed or don't have that much time, so small. And people just like, but I have so much work. But big work happens in small doses. So small that it is nearly as simple as moving those three pieces of paper around, just like, and you can visualize what you need to do to get that task done. You can see the task finished, and you can go through asking the question, what do I need to do the task? And then you can go through the steps to get it done and evaluate and see how you're doing. I always have my clients kind of get to, when they say in a day when we're talking over their list, oh, yeah, I can do that. And some people are doing huge projects. I mean, Patty's done some huge projects. When I hear them say, I can do that, I know that we've gotten their list down to a functional level. Does that answer the question?
Yes, thanks.
Okay.
Now I just need to get that list.
Yeah, we're going to work on that to-do list, because actually to-do lists are pretty important.
I have another question.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm really enjoying this, and I like the strategies that you've come up with a lot. And yes, you are being heard, even though it seems like nobody's on the other end.
Thank you.
I appreciate that you had your client speak as well, because one of her issues, I think, is mine, and that is that when I'm on, I'm all on, and I do incredible stuff, but when I'm off, I'm not present at all. Can you
mm-hmm.
talk about how you can create balance?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, I think when you, first off, when you're on and you're all on, use it to your advantage, and you might be kind of a cyclical worker, so you're going to have to lean into that part of your personality. When you're off and when we get to your list, you're going to have what I call menu items that are smaller, and you're going to see that you can do some of those menu items even when you're off. And these might be slow times. Maybe, I don't know if you feel introverted, extroverted kind of thing. You know, there's, when you're on, you're buzzing and you're working and you're typing, and when you're off, you're just sitting on the couch eating popcorn. I don't know what off means. How off is off?
Well, I pretty much just don't want to do anything, and I will find any excuse in the world to not do my writing. You know, of course,
okay.
The desk needs to be cleaned, and the carpet needs to be taken care of, and I need to go out to lunch with this person I haven't seen in a long time. So just
right. Well, you know, it's kind of handy to have that list of off stuff, so you can say, oh, okay, when I'm shut off, I can do some of these things. But this actually brings up something, and I appreciate you asking this question, and something that's important about writing time. While I think that especially people that have attention difficulties, I don't know if any of the callers have attention difficulties, structure is handy. However, with people with incredibly busy schedules, having a writing time sometimes is just impossible. So what I ask people is to have a writing place or a writing book so that when you have 5 minutes of time, and sometimes this doesn't work. I know it doesn't work always. You have to get engrossed in it and open up a bunch of stuff. But I'd like you to use your little gaps of usable time when you're on to do your writing. And actually, when you're off, most likely you'll be able to spend 5 minutes sitting down and doing 5 minutes of reading or 5 minutes of writing a certain section. You don't have to do big gaps of time. Sometimes we say, oh, I have to write. It's like, oh, I'd rather clean toilets. I want you to get to a spot where you say, I can do that. And I'm going to skip around a little bit because I want to talk about something that will help you probably get your bottom in the chair to write is accountability. And one of the tools I have free of charge on my website, which a number of you are sitting on right now, is the bookending chat. Now, this is great because, and it's like I said, it's a free service, is when you don't feel like doing something, but you commit, even if nobody's on the chat at the time, if you commit that you're going to do it, and this is something I do with my clients one-on-one, they can text me, say, I'm going to spend, 30 minutes on researching da-da-da. So what you would do, Patty, if you're here, can you do an open bookend on the site? Can you do that? I don't know if she can. I'll start. Oh, there she goes.
Done.
Great. So there's an open bookend, right, for 30 minutes. So when you do a bookend, this is especially handy when you're off on your off time. When you do your open bookend, you're ready. You have your papers sitting next to you, or you have the computer open to the document you need to work on. So you say, open bookend, write for 30 minutes. Go write right away for 30 minutes. And then when you're done, Patty? And then we say,
bookend closed.
Yeah. Then we say, go happy. So whoever's there. So then you get, cheers and everything. Now, like I said, one-on-one with my clients, they text me or they send me emails or whatever so that they are completely accountable. That will help when you're not feeling like doing it, but you know you have to. And, there's 1,001 tricks, and we'll get to a few other tricks. And the earlier exercises, the stuck exercises, might also be handy for you to find out why you can do the why question with why don't I sit down and write? And keep on doing that and do that exercise on that question, okay? Hopefully that was helpful. Was that helpful?
This is Patty, and I have to say I find this incredibly helpful because I am so easily distracted. And if I don't want to be writing, I can write for 30 minutes, but I could also, I want to write for 30 minutes, but oh, the phone rang. Oh, there's an email. And I go run off and do it. And once I put it on your site, I actually keep my butt in the seat and do it, and I just do small bookends and just kind of do a crazy run for it. And if I write for 30 minutes, I may actually keep writing for another hour and 30 minutes afterwards.
Right.
But getting that first 30 done really helps.
That's great. And I want to say that to keep promises with yourself. So even if you go on writing after 30 minutes, once you've gotten going, when the timer dings, I want you to just put your hands up and say, there, I did it. Even if it's 5 minutes after the timer dings, just say, oh, did it. Hands down, walk away, spin in a circle for a second. Because then your mind knows that you keep the agreements that you make with yourself. And then you'll be able to start to make a little bit larger and larger agreements. And you'll know that when you say, I'm going to sit down and write today, that it will actually happen. So this bookending also starts to build that muscle with yourself, which is, feels so good to be able to trust that you're going to say you're going to do something to yourself, for yourself, you actually do. So I would encourage you to use the bookending tool. It's free, and it's really, really helpful. Any other questions? I'm going to ask Kim a question. Kim, do we go till 3:30 or later so that I can time what I need to say?
Yes, the call is 60 minutes, so that's including the question and answer time.
Okay. Well, I'm going to yak faster then, and then I will stay after for questions, and this is being recorded, so even if you have to run, you can listen to the questions afterwards. So, but I do want to get to this other part, which is also important. So I'm going to talk like at rapid fire to make sure that you get all this. Let me see the next thing I want to go to. Okay, this is when we start to talk, and I know a bunch of you are probably overwhelmed, right? This is the life of the academic. I want you to get, the first thing that you can do is do what I call a backwards flowchart. This is not, Patty, can you, wait, I'll do it. This is not an original idea. I got it from my mentor that's helping me write my book, Barbara Sharon. And what's really handy about a backwards flowchart is that it will help you see and know what to do on an almost daily basis if you do it right. Get all that stuff up. Okay. So what you're going to do, let's say you have to defend on a certain date, okay? So put that, get a calendar, and you can look at your calendar right now. Get the calendar out and say, put the date down, defend, and then start going backwards. What will you have to do the day before? You're going to have some clothes ready. I mean, all kinds of little things. And just all the little things. What will you have to do the day before you defend? And go backwards to the day before. And actually, the best thing to do is do this in pencil because you're going to be erasing and moving things around. Keep going backwards until you get to today. And what you have then today is your to-do list. What I usually have my clients do when they're doing a backwards flowchart is put their deadline item down on their calendar in pen, and then in pen all their obligations that they know are going to happen between today and the deadline. Do that in pen. And then the rest of the work while you're working on your backwards flowchart in pencil, because you will be tweaking, rearranging, and erasing. Okay? Now that, and it's, I'm making it easy, but this does take a little time to kind of tweak it and play with it and see. But what you have, once you finish that, is you have a to-do list for today. So you keep going backwards and backwards and backwards and backwards until you know what you have to do today. And I want you to keep going backwards until you get to really small things. If you've lost track of your project, maybe you have to gather material. Maybe you have to get excited about it again. Maybe you have to do some of these exercises today. Whatever it takes, I want you to get back until you are today and have small, tiny items. Let's talk about the small, tiny items. This is how to start making a really excellent to-do list. I call these to-do lists shopping lists. For example, if I tell my husband to go to the store for some milk and bread, he might come home with Wonder Bread and whole milk, while I wanted whole grain bread and organic raw milk. So it wasn't clear enough what it is that I wanted from him. And what you want your to-do list is to be as clear as a shopping list. You know, it's not neurotic. It actually is not so hard. What you want to do is make sure that your items are quantifiable. So let's say it is that you need to gather papers, or you do, you know, need to sit down and just look at your outline for 5 minutes. Actually, that's quantifiable. But let's say it's just that you have to gather papers. You say, I have to gather papers. I don't know when you're done. When is the gathering done? When all the stuff is there, you're going to find another piece of paper somewhere. Ugh. And if you're really, like, anxious about your work and you haven't looked at it for a while, gathering papers is going to make your stomach hurt. But can you gather your papers for 5 minutes? I think you can. So that's this quantifiable thing on your list. And you can make it bigger. I mean, if you're not in that kind of headspace, you can do like a 40-minute, hour, two-hour thing if that is natural for you to do. But just make sure that it's quantifiable. Anything can be quantifiable. Anything can be like clearly written out in your to-do list. It has to be something so you know when you can cross it off. Okay? Let's see what time it is. Okay, we're good. Quickly, is there any questions? This is your chance. Okay, I'm going to keep going. What's that? Oh, okay. Okay, we're going to move on. The next thing that I think of when I think of a good to-do list is think of a menu like you're in a restaurant. This is the woman that asked about the downtime. This is going to be handy for you. When you're not feeling at your best, but you still have to do something, look at your shopping list to-do list as a menu, like you were in a restaurant. Now, you're not going to do everything all at once. You just think of, what would I like to order now? What do I have the energy to do right now? And this is really handy if you're really busy, or like somebody that wrote me, they can do quick things, but they can't do big things. Menu items are excellent because you've turned your to-do list small enough that you have small menu items on it. So you say, oh, my gosh, I have 5 minutes. I can email this person about this journal entry, blah, 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 and it's done. So you always have your to-do list as something that you can select items off of. So first you turn your to-do list into a shopping list so it's quantifiable and you can cross it off. And then you look at it, then you change your kind of mindset and consider it a menu, and what can you – what would you like to order off the menu? What would you like to do? Okay. And then I talked about, so you have the URL. I talked about bookending chat. That's this. Come here anytime, night or day, and bookend your little heart out. And then another free community that you can join is, ta-da, here we go. Oh, look. The Daily Nag, which is my Facebook community. Each day I put up tips and have conversations. You can start conversations there. If you have a question,
I'm sorry, it looks like Rachel was pushed off again. Give it a moment, and she'll call back in. Apologize for this. I'm not sure why we're having technical difficulties today.
Well, this is Patty. Maybe while we're waiting for her, I could talk a little bit about my experience with these techniques, because they all sound so very simple until you start using them, and they turn out to be incredibly powerful to break things down to the point where you actually have a list of things you could do in your spare 5 minutes that would move your project forward, and you know how it would move it forward, so you don't have to do all that setup time. That, for me, projects are always, you know, like get all set up, get my papers ready, get everything ready. But having these little 5-minute tasks is great. Oh, I see she's
back. Can you hear me again?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. What was the last thing you heard? I don't know. What's up with my phone here?
You just had us do the menu.
Okay, so we talked menu. Did you hear about the Daily Nag community?
You mentioned the community and posted the link to it, yes.
Okay, you saw that, and you saw that in Beck. Now, again, one of the things that I'm talking about here is accountability, which is so handy, and also support and community, which the Daily Nag provides. This, although I did the website today for Stick and it wasn't coming up, but this is cool. This is, I think, a bunch of, I think they're Harvard guys or set this up, and it's you can commit to doing something, and you can even put stakes on it. And if you don't do it, money will go to like a charity that you don't want your money to go to. So that's kind of, if you're competitive and with yourself, this is higher stakes. But this is a way to really force yourself to do something. If $100 goes to the NRA and you have no interest in the NRA. So that's something to look at. And then, of course, there are professional services, like me. There you go. Where you can work one-on-one with somebody, like myself. I don't know many people that do what I do, is doing these short little daily check-ins. But I'm sure there are other people and other ways that people work that will help you with accountability and productivity. And also, you see here that I'm starting a new Right Now group, which is a group of no more than 10 authors that meet for 10 minutes every morning, Monday through Friday, and do a check-in and make their commitments to each other and to me, and have access to me through the day with personal bookends. So there's those kind of services. And we are close to the end, so I'm going to check and see if we have, I can't believe my computer works through this whole thing, at least that works. Are there any other questions or anything that you'd like to share? What was the most beneficial trick?
I have a question.
Yes.
Let's see, when you were talking about the various, Patty, is Patty still on the line?
I am.
Okay. When you were talking about how helpful, how simple the various techniques are, and then actually doing them is a different thing, and how useful they are. I was curious to know, how long did it take you to kind of get into using these techniques, these strategies? I mean, did you kind of immerse yourself, or could you, you know, share a little bit about that?
Are you asking me, Patty, how long
it
took?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Every day, Rachel finds one, you know, I send her my list of things I need to do today, and she throws another idea out at me. I use it that day, and it works well enough that I go right on using it after that. It's all very, very quick.
So you just jump right in.
So quick.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's, yeah, and that's a good question. I'm giving you kind of general ideas.
Mm-hmm.
When, like, if I'm working one-on-one with somebody, or if you ask a question on the Daily Nag, I'm going to answer specifically to your needs and try to really tailor a tool specifically for you.
Mm-hmm.
These are just general tools that have helped a number of clients.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to give you the best of, but I do tailor them for the client. And,
got it.
And
okay.
You can actually, yeah.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
This is Danielle. I was wondering, when it comes to the 5-minute task, sometimes as an author, I struggle in, let's say I dedicate 1 hour to writing a day.
Mm-hmm.
I think to myself, okay, what's considered writing? You know, I have like a output that I have for myself, but
mm-hmm.
sometimes during that 1 hour span, like you said, I may, it may not be flowing the way I want it to.
It might not be going to. Uh-huh.
Right, right. So I'm wondering, when you talk about those five-minute tasks, in your mind, are those considered part of that 1 hour of writing or no? Or is it in addition to 1 hour of writing?
No, I would use that. I would use those time intervals as part of your one-hour writing, especially if that 1 hour, you're finding that it's not super productive, that there's, you know, 1 hour of pouring more coffee and, you know, there's other things that happen that really don't, at the end of it, produce anything fresh and usable, then you might be surprised that while you have that hour, that if you spend 5 minutes where you promise yourself no distractions, no emails, no kids, no, you know, warming your coffee, nothing, and you just write on what you need to write on, and you've already decided what that's going to be because you've done your to-do list, you know what that is going to be probably, that would be a five-minute interval. And maybe you do five-minute intervals of research. Now, you could do three of five, five of five. But, yeah, break it down, because then it's kind of nice because you can cross it off your to-do list. And the more you cross off, the more motivation you get.
Mm-hmm.
And an hour of time, a lot of times you just kind of, you know, you bonk. You hit the wall midway through, and the rest of the, you know, the next 30 or 20 minutes just stink. So, unless you're really, you know, in a groove. So I just, you know, if you're just going, go.
So you would, again, consider, hmm? You would even consider, like, reading part of the writing process?
If that's part of getting your work done. But be careful that if you're a perfectionist, that you're not avoiding the writing. If you see that you have to have research, what you can do, and I have some people that have research-rich writing to do, but they have their concept, is I'll have them just draw a line where they need to fill in the blanks for the research, do their writing, go, you know, just go write, and then they realize that they need a name here, they need a date here, they need to research here. Just draw a line and make a note what they need to look up later and keep writing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but be careful with the reading. Yes, reading's part of it, but be careful if you tend to be a perfectionist. That's all I have to say. With that is because you can get caught up in one more thing to read.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, too, just so you know, Patty's books are online and available, and right now downloadable for free, which is pretty generous. Am I still on? Hello?
Well, thank you for mentioning that.
Can you all hear me?
Yep, we can still hear you, Rachel.
Oh, good, because it just told me something was invalid. I'm just like, what?
No, we can still hear you.
Okay. All right, so you heard. Okay, great. So there's that. We have a couple minutes left, so if somebody has a burning question, this is the time.
All right, remember to press 4-star to unmute yourself.
I tend to find that I let the state of my workspace affect whether I can get started with something.
Mm-hmm.
If decks aren't clean and clear, my mind can't be clean and clear.
Right, right. It's okay to spend, you know, a little bit of time, committed amount of time picking up, but that's also a great strategy for procrastination because let's say you had something to do that you had to have done within 15 minutes or else, like, you know, your house will blow up, you would do it in that 15 minutes whether the area was a mess or not. So know that that is in part a way to procrastinate, but also in part if you have, you know, a lot of people with attention difficulties finding that area really hard to focus, but know that you can if you have to focus, but you also might give yourself permission to organize the space for 15 minutes a day or whatever makes you feel good. Don't let it be the thing that keeps you from writing.
Or maybe
you can write
15 minutes of organization at the end of the day, so I start.
That's a nice idea. Nice idea.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
One more quick question, if I may. Rachel, you mentioned the book. Where do can we find it online?
Which, Patty's book?
Yes.
Okay, let me see if I can. Here we go. Can you see the chat, the person that just asked me? Can you see the chat page?
No, sorry.
Okay, Patty, can you, I'm going to put that up again for anybody else, but Patty, could you give the address, please?
Yeah, go to www.enjoybeingmarried.com and just click on the e-books link.
All right.
You'll get to
you.
Free e-books.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I have one question.
Okay, can we keep going for 1 second? Is that okay, Kim?
Yes, yes. We can keep going for as long as people want to ask questions. And any of you who need to go on and to another activity today, this will be recorded. So you can always come back and listen to it later on if you didn't want to miss the questions here at the end.
Okay, great.
I had a question.
Right. And who's talking?
This is Danielle again. Hi.
Hi, Danielle.
My question is, I'm in the process of writing my first book, and it's a very different process than writing journal articles, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, I know that you know a lot about writing coaches, but you are one, and support systems like that. Can you think of any support systems that are specifically geared toward people who are writing books?
Ah, that's a good question. Well, my Right Now group, most of the people in the Right Now group are working on books.
Mm-hmm.
Let me think. Barbara Shearer has groups for writing, but it's mostly, well, this might actually be helpful for you. It's people working on nonfiction books. She has what she calls Write Speak programs. That might be something to look into.
And who is
that? Let me see if I can get that back up. Can you see?
Yeah.
Can you see the?
Actually, I'm unable to see the web thing that you're looking at right now.
Okay, it's
okay.
I can see it, and it's Barbara Shearer, Sher, and her website is barbarashearer.com.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I don't know if that specifically would be helpful, but it's worth looking into. And like I said, the Right Now groups are mostly authors working on a full-length book.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
This has been an educational presentation brought to you by the Text and Academic Authors Association.